Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is the Pomp and Pony Podcast, powered by Bowser Chevrolet. Here's Bob Pompieni from KDKA-TV and Andrew Filipponi from 93.7 The Fan.
Welcome to another Pomp and Pony Podcast. Bob Pompieni, Andrew Filipponi. We're joined by a man who knows a lot about Steeler football. That, of course, would be the longtime nose tackle, the pride of Brigham Young University. That would be Chris Hoke, Hokey Bro 76. Andrew, he's become a television megastar, too, if you've not noticed.
Oh, I have. He's got, I think, the goatee still there, or are you going to go clean-shaven now, Chris? You change from year to year.
I'm clean-shaven. At some point, you start looking a little old, right? So you got to get rid of facial hair so you can steal back a few years.
Oh.
Do you manscape?
Do I manscape?
Yeah. I mean, since we're on the hair topic.
I don't know what you mean by manscape.
That doesn't mean, it's like a, never mind. Anyway, let's talk about the pressing matter, which was the Steeler game last night, because, yep. You know, here it is. It's one preseason game. So I don't like to always get overboard with it, but I know people do. They come to conclusions based on one game, one series, whatever.
To me,
and this is maybe not the right way to start, but to me, the most impressive player on the night was Presley Harvin III. And I'm not going to ever underestimate the importance of a good punter with regard to field position in a game that is determined by field position. So, what's your big takeaway of last night, Chris?
Well, listen, I thought he was an impressive punter. I think he's going to be an asset for the Steelers. I love the way he pinned the ball within the 10-yard line. What, a couple times? He had a nice drop. I don't know if it was just coincidence and just good luck. The ball bounced and hit the returner in the shoulder, and the Steelers were able to recover it. But he did make had some good impact on the game last night. But what stood out to me really is I'm going to go with and I know this is not the popular thing. I thought Josh Dobbs played well.
Bingo, he did.
And I know a lot of people in the local media here are singing the praises of Dwayne Haskins, but I think Josh Dobbs, in my opinion, I've been to a couple practices at a Heinz Field. I've been just following everything, watching the game last night. I think Josh Dobbs has played better than Mason Rudolph and Dwayne Haskins over the last 2 weeks of training camp.
So how should that impact the decision the coaches make on the quarterback depth chart, Chris?
Well, unfortunately, it is how this thing works here, Pony, and you know how this goes. I mean, you have Mason Rudolph, who they have a lot of hope for. They believe that he can be a franchise quarterback, and a lot of people think that they're crazy. But
I don't think they feel that way anymore, do you? You really think in their minds they look at him and think he's the Ben Roethlisberger heir apparent? Ugh.
What makes you think they don't think that? I mean, he comes into a game last year against the Cleveland Browns. It's a must-win game for the Browns, right?
Yep.
We all agree?
Yep.
Must-win game for the Browns. He throws the ball over the field for 300-plus yards, takes a desperate Browns team to the ropes. He has one bad pick he throws because the back who stepped up missed the blitz pickup, and he got hit in the face. He was throwing the ball. One bad pick. Other than that, he played an impeccable game in an environment like that. I mean, I don't know how you can dock him. You know, I still think they have high hopes for Mason Rudolph, Pony.
I just don't think, Bob, you could tell me if you agree with this. I don't think they even bring in Haskins if they think Rudolph is definitely going to be the next guy. Why would you even create
–
You don't?
I don't agree with that. I think they bring in Haskins because Mike Tomlin is great with guys like him who are troubled, who come from, have kind of a sketchy background in the NFL or in the past. And Tomlin is a guy, he's like the player whisperer, right? And Tomlin's able to work with these kind of players. And I believe that Dwayne Haskins and Mike Tomlin have the same agent.
They do.
If I'm not mistaken.
Which I think is a massive conflict of interest, Bob.
I think it's a favor to his agent. And I don't think that this was all about him thinking that, you know, that Mason wasn't the guy. I think Dwayne Haskins, I have a lot of strong opinions on this whole quarterback position. But in my opinion, when you look at all three of those guys to this point, Josh Dobbs has played better out of the three.
So to Pony's original point, that doesn't matter then. Let's say he continues this and he's the best quarterback in the preseason. There's no way he's the backup, is he?
And that's the sad thing is you're talking to a guy here, guys, who was undrafted free agent, right? And no matter what you do, you're always fighting for your life, right? And you can have a first, second, third round pick who, you know, you have to show repeatedly that you can't play before they give up on you. So a guy like Mason Rudolph, who was drafted in the third round, but they thought he had a first round grade, and you have Dwayne Haskins, who was a 15th overall pick. Those guys are going to get the benefit of the doubt, unfortunately, over Josh Dobbs. But then the decision they got to make, though, if we're going to kind of play this game, is say Mason Rudolph is the number two guy. Who do you go with? Do you go with Dobbs or do you go with Dwayne Haskins, who he can be, as you've seen saw over the summer, he can be a distraction. Do you want your third quarterback to be a distraction? And you know that Josh Dobbs is going to be an asset to Ben Roethlisberger. He's going to be an asset to the team. And a model citizen. So do you want to keep Dwayne Haskins and let Josh Dobbs go? That's the decision they're going to have to make.
Well, to your point, I think if you believe Mike Tomlin is the guy, and I agree with this, I think he can bring a guy in and get to him a little bit. I don't think Haskins will be a problem. I understand what happened before. It happened, and it's over and done with. But
you're talking about the Instagram model that he wants the gifts and money back from?
Yeah, I know. I don't know what – you fall trapped into this stuff. It gets as you're a
even
young guy.
Even little things. Over the summer, I mean, he got punched or he didn't get punched by – it's just being in the media for negative publicity.
Yeah, but you know everything. Chris, it's talent always wins out. If the guy has this kind of talent and they believe they can possibly turn him into the next – who knows? I mean, if he is, he's the guy, what a genius move that is to just bring him in after he was – you know, discarded by Washington. You never had a number one pick to drive a quarterback, and you end up with him, and he turns out. So I understand what they're doing there.
No, I agree. I agree with you.
So I think he's going to.
I don't know.
The
maybe I'm nuts
doubt.
Here, but if something happened to Ben in a game this year and went down, given the state of their offensive line, I'd rather have Dobbs in there than Rudolph. And I'm not just saying that because I'm anti-Rudolph. I honestly think a guy that could move around and make plays with his legs would be a bigger asset to this team than Rudolph would.
What did Mason do last night that made you think that he can't play? I mean, the guy's passes were
I don't know. He was in the game for a quarter and a half, and they scored 0 points, Chris.
But also, I mean, he had no running game, right? Najee had 7 carries for, 22 yards?
So is that Najee's fault? I mean, he's got great skill position players out there, Chris.
What I'm saying is he made great throws. Right, you see some of these throws that he made, that great throw down the field to Chase Claypool.
That was a better catch. I like that. You're right. But I also thought that there was one he missed to James Washington that was a very big one, too. I mean, I thought just generally, I thought all these guys played too conservatively, like too much not willing to make a mistake, you know? And I don't like that. And maybe that was the rule going into this.
How about the line as a factor of that, too, Bob?
Yeah. I mean, they didn't have one starter. That was it.
Yep.
So
Green. And he might not – well, he probably will be the starter.
Yeah, so, I mean, Chris, overall, did you think it was kind of just kind of vanilla? We didn't see a lot to distinguish anybody from anybody else.
No, I thought that, you know, I started to think, again, we're talking about quarterbacks here. I thought that Mason stretched the field. He took shots down the field. I only saw Haskins throw the ball down the field one time. A lot of his were just
check-downs,
little rollouts, check-downs, kind of what we saw from Ben last year from inside the pocket. He was rolling out at least. I thought Dobbs – the thing is, you're seeing Dobbs rolling out and he's throwing the ball in the money. You saw that in practice at Heinz Field. And so, to me, they were playing a little safe. I thought Mason pushed the ball down the field a little more. You know, and Troy Aikman, you know, really pinned this on. I disagree completely on that pass to Chase Claypool. Chase Claypool just had, you know, alligator arms on that ball because he heard footsteps. You got to go get that ball. I understand it's preseason, but that's a – you know, he's leading them. That's a great throw. In my opinion, and I think what most people would say that. So I don't know. I don't think that Mason was playing safe. I think it was the play calling too, though, for the other guys.
Ooh,
interesting. All right.
Well, the Najee thing is interesting to me too, because If another Steelers running back averages 3 yards a carry, we're wondering why he didn't have a better game, but everyone just says, well, what did you expect? He didn't have his line, and he's just getting his feet wet, you know?
Which is why I don't think you can make these judgments on rosters after one game.
Well, I'm saying, Bob, what's the point of even playing him then in these games?
Just to get acclimated a little bit more. He doesn't have to play a lot. But
he played a lot last night. He played into the second quarter.
I think 8 touches, was it?
Seven carries, 10 touches, yeah.
That, I mean, you're going to always risk situations here, whether it's health, whether it's a rookie who's going to be tired by the end of the year because it is a long year.
Right.
I understand all that, but I still think it's important for him to get his feet wet a little bit, even though it's not exactly 100%.
I don't disagree with that, but if he's going to play, I want him out there with the people that he's going to play with week one. Offensive line.
So you wouldn't have played him. You would have played him maybe.
I would have gotten
him
out of the game faster. Yeah. I would have gotten him out of the game sooner last night. I want Ben to play against Philly.
What are we doing to these guys, Pony? But Pony, what are we doing to these guys? Are we treating them like babies or what? I mean, when I was playing the NFL and it wasn't as tough as when the guys played in the 70s and 80s, we didn't take days off. We practiced.
Chris, Ben's got a brand new offense and he gets 4 days of practice off per week. What the hell's that all about? I mean, that's a joke. That's a joke.
I remember guys like Casey Hampton. I don't even think Casey used to complain because he wouldn't get a veteran day off, right? James Ferry every once in a while get a day off. Aaron Smith never took a day off.
Well, Chris, what's your take on Ben then? He's talking about how it's such a difficult offense to learn. He's got his daughter with friggin' memory cards, and then he's out there in sweatpants eating sunflower seeds during practice.
And even when he's out there practicing, he's in shorts and he's wearing a helmet without a chin strap. I mean, I just, that's me. If you want to have a mentality, then strap it up, everybody, and have everybody go. I don't remember all these veteran days off. I mean, we might have had one here or there. I never took a day off, but I wasn't a star. When you talk about stars, you talk about a guy like Casey Hampton, never took a day off. Never.
But I think it's also a product of having depth issues in a salary cap league where you can't afford to have people out there.
But, Bob, I just can't picture Brady getting to Tampa Bay and taking days off.
I understand. I think Ben should play in one of these games. But I think he will play in the Lions game, maybe. That would be the one. He's at home.
Mentality, though, Pomp.
What?
You got to develop a mentality. You got to create a mentality. You got to create a culture of physicality. I mean, if you want to be physical, you got to get out there and you've got to, you remember when Coach Cowher used to, like, growl when the weather wasn't hot, it wasn't steamy, and it wasn't humid, right? I mean, he wanted to have the most difficult environment for us, and he wanted us out there, and he wanted us to grind. That's how you develop mentally tough, physical, dominant players. And you don't do it by giving guys, making guys work 3 days a week.
Your boy Belichick had the Patriots out in the rain the other day. Did you see that, Pop?
I did.
The downpour.
Coach Bill, yeah, he's out there.
Chris, how about then what you're saying about how you've got to get out there mentality, you got to establish yourself and all that. Like, what's to stop, I think Bob is alluding to this too, if they're going to put all these bells and whistles into the Canada's offense and Ben's not out there practicing and he only gets a cup of coffee in the preseason, what's to keep that Claypool-Rudolph play that happened in last night's game, what's going to prevent that from happening with Claypool and Ben in week one? What, they just don't call those plays?
Well, the timing is going to be off. No, they'll call the plays. The timing will be off, and it'll take again, like we've seen the last, I don't know how long. You'll see that the first month of the season, the team will be warming up. They won't come out of the blocks in a full sprint. They'll be jogging out of the blocks.
Like, yeah, but those games are important.
Those are really important games.
Because the back end of the schedule is extremely difficult.
That's my important,
right.
Because it seems like in recent years, the Steelers are getting in December saying, oh, I wish we would have won this game back in September. You can't do that. You've got to start off strong. I mean, now you have an extra game, but 17 games, you don't have 82 games or 81 games or 160 plus games like in baseball where you could take a mulligan. You can't do that in the NFL, and you've got to come out swinging from the very snap, and that's bit the Steelers the last several years.
All right, let's switch it over real quick to the other side of the ball. There's always this talk about who's going to be back up at corner, lack of depth everywhere. We saw some guys make plays last night. Justin Lane even made one.
Man, I loved Highsmith last night.
Highsmith was like a different level. And I love that, too, because I think their outside linebackers are fine. Mm-hmm. Inside linebackers, I'm not so – I want to get your take, Chris, as I digress through all of this, of Devin Bush. Because I'm not sold on Devin Bush as what they may think he could be or is.
Let me tell you, I have a strong opinion about this as well. I mean, maybe I'm full of strong opinions, but last year, and I said this, Pomp, on TV when we were together, I don't believe that Devin Bush, before he got hurt, played any better than Robert Spillane was playing when he came in. I thought Spillane played better than Devin Bush. And so, you know, he comes back now, and I watched him in practice. He's not close to where he was last year. He's just a little hesitant. He's thinking because he's worried about people falling on his feet. I don't know, man, that's what you think he's thinking about, but he's not where he's at mentally yet. And it's going to take some time. It's going to take, you know, I would say half to three quarters of the season before he gets comfortable out there. But at the end of the day, guys, I have not seen that first round talent that we're all looking for.
Well, that's why I think the Vince Williams retirement is a bigger deal than maybe some are making it out to be, Chris. I don't know about you, but when you play the Browns and Ravens twice, and those are two of the best running teams at running the football in the entire NFL, and you got to win your division, that's the mantra, that's the goal. I think a guy like Vince Williams helps you immensely in that regard. And that's not Devin Bush's calling card.
No, plus he helps in the locker room. He's a leader, right? And he's a hard-nosed guy. He inspires people. He's no nonsense, and you need a guy like that in that linebacker room. Now you have who's the leader of that linebacker room now? Devin Bush,
a guy that puts videos on Twitter of cats getting killed. That's your leader in that room now.
That's your leader. You need a leader. See, when I played guys, I mean, listen, there was.
Well, Bob, you're laughing. Ago. That's true. That's what
I,
he
no,
did.
I know
insane.
He did. But
it's ridiculous.
It's the one where I laughed at the one where Cam Hayward had to say, "Calm your ass down."
It's ridiculous,
and that's what it's been taking. You know, so
yeah,
that's not a leader right there.
No, I think Spillane has emerged more of that.
It's immaturity. It's immaturity. And these guys need to, you know, understand that social media can be a vehicle, but also can be a detriment to their brand. And so they've got to make, you know, this isn't anything, you know, groundbreaking. I mean, you talk to any of those coaches in that locker room, they'd say the same things.
You know what? You know what's the best thing for your brand is playing good football and becoming a really good player.
Yeah,
that's
true.
It's just like winning when you're trying to promote a
Sid's
sport.
Sid's not on Twitter.
It's about what you are as a player. That's how you brand up,
right? Sidney Crosby's not on Twitter,
no.
Is he?
I think he may be
somehow. I agree, but listen, it can be for good and be for bad, and unfortunately, you know, some of these guys, they get emboldened to say things because you're sitting there and nobody's right in your face. Right, and you feel like you're not going to be held accountable for what you're saying because you just have a screen in front of you, and it's unfortunate.
Chris, the reports you've been there, so you can say it first. You can speak firsthand to this. The defensive front is engulfing the offensive line. The Steelers' line is O line is just getting killed by the defensive line. Is that true?
Yeah, it's kind of frustrating. You know, you can't really get a feel for what the offense is going to be like because the line of scrimmage is being inverted at the snap. When you have Cam Hayward in there and Tyson Alualu and, you know, Alex Highsmith, I mean, that line of scrimmage is going backwards. And the offensive line just is not creating any space for Najee Harris or the other guys to run. You can look at it two ways, Pony.
Yep.
One way is it's tough because it's hard to evaluate, really, because these guys are going against some of the best in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the other hand, you can look and say they're going to get better because they're going against some of the best in the NFL. So I'm not sure how the coaches look at it, but I can tell you right now, to your point, that the offensive line is getting dominated at Heinz Field in this training camp.
That's not good news, but I expect it to be a slow start, which is why I think we're talking about playing these guys a lot more as this preseason goes on. They have to get in there and just do it.
Do you think if Tomlin went to Ben and said, I want you to get out there against Philadelphia for one series on Thursday?
He'll do it.
You think so?
Yes.
You think Tomlin would do that, or do you think Ben would be receptive to it?
I think Ben would be receptive to it.
Okay.
And I would think, Bob, with a caveat, if there's guys healthy, I mean, I don't know if you put them out there with the offensive line they had last night.
No, I agree with that. If you don't have the right guys, I don't think you should. To your point, Andrew, about Najee Harris, it doesn't make sense. But I do think he needs some time.
He does. I agree. It's timing. You need to get the timing down, right? And it's rapport with the players and the communication and understanding Ben's cadence and all of those things. You just need – I mean, in sports, you need reps. Very few guys can just go out there on game day and line up and play without practice or without reps. And the guys on the team right now aren't those guys.
Yeah. Well, he's also got to get used to Canada sending in plays, doesn't he? I mean, isn't that something that's never happened before for him in a real game? It's always been Fichtner, Haley, Wisenhunt. I mean, plus Canada's got to get used to Ben.
they can simulate that in Heinz Field as well at practice, right? They can put the helmet in there and they can do things like that. So they can simulate that. But you can't simulate the speed of the game.
Right.
You can't simulate the communication in real time when you got a linebacker yelling at you and he's sugaring or he's faking the blitz in the A gap and you don't know if he's coming or not and you don't know what the offensive line and you don't know where you're going to get punched. You can't simulate that at real time speed.
Well, we'll see. We got three more of these games to go. Chris Hoke is going to be alongside all season long after the games where we take calls.
Oh boy, the calls part are just.
It's funny. Sometimes people come to amazing overreactions on every single play.
Yeah, but that's what we love about it.
It's
isn't
overreaction
it?
Sunday. Yeah, we do. And Chris is good about it.
I love it. Hey, Pony, you know what my favorite thing ever was?
What's that?
A couple years back, I've never seen Pomp stumped. I've never seen Pomp turn bright red and not know what to say. Somebody came on the show and said, "Hey, Pomp, I think your daughter's good looking." And Pomp about died.
Said hot. And that hot thing got me hot because, you know, I'm still a dad first. I may be a guy, but I'm a dad.
When
it's your own. And
but it's a compliment, Bob.
It's a compliment, but he must have been 80 years old, it sounded like, and I'm thinking he's a creeper.
I never seen Pomp get so flustered and red and didn't know what – he always knows what to say. In this moment, he was just dumbfounded.
All right, who's BYU open up with? They play Utah week one, Chris? They get right into it or no?
We got Arizona. We got Arizona in Vegas. Where the Raiders play week one, September 4th, then we play the Utah Utes, September 11th. And then how about this? Week three at home, we play the Arizona State Sun Devils. We got a tough first few weeks of the season.
Real quick, I want to ask you about this conference realignment because it's going to happen again. Where do you think BYU should end up or will end
They're
up?
They're not in a conference, right?
No, we're
yeah, but they're going to have to be in a conference, aren't they?
You think?
Pac-12.
Yeah, I would love to see
I think the Pac-12 is going to bring in all those teams.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't think the Pac-12 will bring in BYU though. I think BYU is going to have to go down to the Big 12 just because it's
the Big 12 won't even be what anywhere close to being the kind of conference you want in. I don't think.
I don't think it's going to exist.
I don't know if it will. I don't know if it will though. But I think BYU right now. I read a study the other day that BYU has after OU and after Texas. What I read in this article was that BYU draws bigger crowds in football and basketball than any other Big 12.
Yeah, but you can't drink at the game. My God!
Oh, here we go.
I mean, you can't do that. What are you going to do?
Here we go, Chris.
What good is it?
Oh, so here it is. Here it is. You have to drink to have fun in life. That's the story.
Well, can you get any caffeine at the games, Chris?
Yeah, you can. They sell caffeine on campus now. Okay. They changed that a couple years ago.
Okay.
So, but you know what? Here's the thing, guys. Is I think BYU would be a great asset to whatever.
I agree.
Conference they went into. I think the Pac-12, because of some kind, you know, listen, BYU is owned by our church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and there are some principles and some beliefs that don't align with California's beliefs, and so I think that's going to make things difficult.
Huh.
Yeah, it's a political thing, and it's a cultural thing. The beliefs of our faith don't align with some of those far left liberal ways of thinking, and so I don't know if BYU ever get into the Pac-12. That's why I say the Big 12 would be the place for BYU to go, where it's the South.
Yeah,
interesting.
Hey, Chris, you're the best. You know that. I mean that. It's great to catch up with you again, buddy.
I look forward to spending more Sunday afternoons with Chris Hoke defending my daughter.
Can't wait, brother.
See you, Chris.
Thanks,
yeah,
Chris.
Right, always. See you guys.
See
Have
you,
a good
bro.
Day.
You've been listening to the Pomp and Pony Podcast, powered by Bowser Chevrolet. Join us each week for another Pomp and Pony Podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better.
because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.